Are you guys upsizing, downsizing, looking for college housing, or even relocating for your job right here to Tuscaloosa? If that's the case, then you need to contact Celeste Hagler, owner and operator of First Class Real Estate South Home Group, right here in Tuscaloosa. She can help you with the buying, selling, and investment needs throughout the state of Alabama. You can contact Celeste at 205-861-5698. Reach out to Celeste again at 205-861-5698 and schedule a consultation to discuss your real estate goals and to live where you love in the state of Alabama. War Eagle, as they say on the other side of the state of Alabama. However, after last weekend's loss, they are probably saying a lot of other things that we can't say here on the radio. But Auburn has to dust themselves off now because they've got a trip to College Station and the Texas A&M Aggies this weekend. And if you guys will remember, Auburn knocked off Texas A&M in a huge stunner last season in November. We are about to be joined by Kyle Rush, host of The Barn, to do a preview of Auburn, and then Olin Buchanan from TexAct Radio joins us to preview this game from the Aggie perspective. This is the War Eagle versus Gig'em Aggies preview show right here on the Stingray Show.
Hi, this is Tim Brando with a reminder. Those of you on Tide 100.9, look out. You're about to feel the buzz of Stingray.
This is Stephen Ray, a.k.a. Stingray, coming to you live from Tuscaloosa, Alabama.
I'm Heath Hopkins. I'm here in DeSoto County, Mississippi, right outside of Memphis, Tennessee.
You know, Mark, I'm going to put you on the spot. Do you feel that responsibility to pay it forward and give some kid a chance coming up in the ranks, kind of like Tony did for you?
Why do you think I'm talking to Stingray tonight?
Thank you, man. I appreciate that.
Hey, Stingray, here's the deal. When you get involved with Texas, it's like getting married to a stripper. And let me explain this. It looks good. It's kind of sexy on the surface. Yeah. But then you get the baggage. You get the drama. You get all that eventually comes with it. And that's what you get with Texas. And that's what the Big 12 learned.
And Heath, any thoughts on our show moving forward?
Hey, to everyone in Tuscaloosa listening here on Tide 100.9, with the Stingray Show, if you don't like it, you better learn to love it, because it's the best show going today, baby. Woo!
And with that, I want to welcome you inside the Friday evening edition of the Stingray Show. We are about to be doing a preview of Auburn and Texas A&M. This was a huge matchup last year, and Auburn knocked off, unexpectedly, a Texas A&M team, sending them back to Aggieland with a loss. To preview this game from the Auburn perspective, who are trying to get a bad taste out of their mouth, here is Kyle Rush, contributor to The Barn. Kyle, how were things with you, and have you put the Oklahoma game out of your mind?
Man, it's hard to get that taste out of your mouth, like you said. But like, regardless of how you feel, it doesn't change the fact that you got another opportunity to go in and try to knock off another top 10 team or top 15 team. I don't exactly know where they're ranked at this point in time. So I can dwell on it. The team can't. They got to move on. So it's going to be a fun matchup. I actually like this matchup better than I liked Oklahoma and Auburn. So, and I'm sure we're going to discuss that. So we'll see what happens.
Kyle, briefly, you cover Auburn. Let's go back to last Saturday. Sure. And talk about those horrible, egregious calls and some no calls. Yeah. Let's start with the scoop and score. I thought that was going to be a touchdown for Auburn. It was not. Yeah. And then you had that what Oklahoma called was a speed-up tempo play. Yeah, right. Give me a break, Brent Venables. That was just a dirty, nasty call, and he got away with it. Kyle, your thoughts?
Yeah, so the scoop and score was really tough because they overturned the call. Like, to me, it was at worst a, you know, hey, we don't have enough evidence.
Right.
To overturn it, and the call stands. And what's funny is they mentioned they used the term judgment call several times in that whole review process. And I'm like, wait, if we're making a judgment call, that means it's basically a coin flip. Like, it's there's not indisputable evidence. So that was really tough for it to overturn. And then later in the game, you have essentially a very similar situation. And you called it a catch, and you called this one not a catch. And to me, there wasn't a ton of difference between the two. So, yeah, that was really tough because it was basically I think Oklahoma may have kicked the field goal on that drive. I can't 100% remember, but that's a 10-point swing right there in the game. So, tough break there for sure.
Now, I do want to also mention the 10 sacks that the offensive line gave up. After looking back at the film, Kyle, what ultimately led to that in your opinion? Was it just that the Oklahoma Sooners had Jackson Arnold's number, or was it the offensive line issues for Auburn?
Offensive line's going to get a bad rap for Saturday, but in my opinion, it was that you could rest at least half of those on the shoulders of Jackson, in my opinion. Okay. And I think Hugh basically said that too. He said, you know, there was 4 to 5 sacks where there was nothing he could do. Some of those came at the end of the game when you got a penalty on a dadgum kickoff again, and you start your game-winning drive on the 5, and they're pinning their ears back and coming. So that's just not a recipe for success. But he said 4 or 5 of them, there's nothing he could do. And then he thought the others, he felt like the ball could have been gotten rid of. And you got to look at another thing, too, is a lot of those sacks you had, like, it was a sack for, like, -1 yards or -2 yards. So it's Jackson running, trying to get back to the line of scrimmage or a run play, possibly even, trying to get back to the line of scrimmage and just coming up short. It's really more of a tackle for loss than a sack. And I say that because the pocket was there. He couldn't find a guy, and he was breaking down and trying to run and get, you know, what he could get. So, to me, those are not really on the offensive line. He had over 3 seconds to throw the ball, to get rid of the ball. I mean, that's ideal. That's what you're looking for. Again, it was awful to watch, but I think you could put just as much blame on Jackson as you should the offensive line.
And here's the last thing I'm going to say about the Oklahoma game. The ref screwed you. And let me also say this, 10 sacks, and Auburn still had an opportunity to drive and win that football game.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And I talked about that, and I've talked about that several times. Look, even if through all of that adversity, possibly some pass interference, as you should have called, the hideout play, which the SEC office, I've never seen them just come out and say a call was wrong. It should have been done this way. Like, I've never seen that before. It's never happened to Auburn, so I haven't noticed it. Even with all that, you had the ball with a chance to win the game. You actually had a drive prior where you drove down the field and scored to take the lead. Then you couldn't make a play on defense, but you had the ball back to try to win the game. I think you point to that and say, look, guys, we clean up these few things. You're right there. That's a top 10 team that you took to the wire there, even not playing your best football. So hopefully you can carry that into the Texas A&M week. I think they're pretty fired up and feel like last week was kind of stolen from them. So it's sort of like a revenge mindset going into the game on Saturday.
Talk about the A&M game from the fan perspective, because they got A&M last year when they were not expecting it. Talk about that, please.
I think the fans need this one, because if you lose this one, you're really staring at an 0-3. You could be staring at an 0-3, maybe even an 0-4 start in the SEC, which would just be would just really sink, I think, most support that you have. There's a lot of folks that are fired up, rightfully so, because this roster is very, very talented. You knocked them off last year. And just the way things have kind of played out, you feel like a lot of times the losses are preventable. You're like, you're shooting yourself in the foot. So if you see something very similar where you go out there and you're getting holding penalties on kickoffs and punts and start and putting yourself in holes before you can ever really even get started, and there's no real change in the whole Jackson Arnold situation to where he's either able to run the ball or get the ball out instead of just holding it, holding it, holding it. I think if you see that performance again, you're going to have a lot of fans that are going to be unhappy. I'm just going to be honest. It's going to be tough to spin out of it. I don't necessarily say you have to go in and win the game, but you need to go play a good, clean game, in my opinion, and have a chance at least to win the game at some point in time. So we'll see what happens, but I think this is really important for fan support, honestly.
All right. So we are up against our first break of the evening, and Kyle, when we come back, we are going to dive exclusively into the matchup tomorrow between Texas A&M and the Auburn Tigers. That's on the other side of the break. You're listening to the Stingray Show. The Fun Friday edition will return right after this. It's college football season, and what goes well with college football events? And if you have an event coming up and needs catering, let certified chef Jamie and the Coker Market do the event for you. Here are just some of the things that Coker Market have to offer for your catering needs. Pulled pork by the pound, chicken tenders by the dozen, smoked wings by the dozen, or a half a slab of ribs or a full slab of ribs. Contact Jamie and the Coker Market today, or better yet, go by there off of County Road 140 and let them help you take the hassle out of the catering needs for your event this upcoming football season. How would you like to live where you love in the state of Alabama? Whether it is your upsizing, downsizing, retiring at the beach, or relocating for your job, then you are going to want to contact Celeste Hagler, owner of First Class Real Estate South Home Group, with brokers in Tuscaloosa, Orange Beach, and Huntsville. They can help you with the buying, selling, and investment needs throughout the state of Alabama. You can contact Celeste at 205-861-5698. Once again, that is 205-861-5698, and schedule a consultation to discuss your real estate goals anywhere across the state of Alabama. For over 100 years, the Bank of Moundville has been a name clients can trust. The Bank of Moundville is more than just a bank. They're your neighbors, your friends, and your community partners. Their unique approach to financial education has always centered around families. They believe that financially strong homes today lay the foundation for a brighter future for tomorrow's generation. You can call them today at 205-371-2227. Once again, that is 371-2227 to schedule an appointment to build your financial security. The Bank of Moundville is a member FDIC and an equal housing lender.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. And watch for some congestion east on McFarland from Coker to Jack Warner Parkway, 14-minute drive. Also on northbound Highway 69 from Old Greensboro Road to Skyland Boulevard, it's an 8-minute drive. Construction continues on McWrights Ferry Road. It's being extended down to Rice Mine Road. And also construction on Skyland between I-359 and Buttermilk Road. With your Tuscaloosa traffic now, I'm Lisa Bakke.
You're listening to the home of Alabama Crimson Tide Sports. Tide 100.9.
Well, Welcome back inside the Stingray Show. My guest this evening is Kyle Rush as we are breaking down the Auburn side of the Auburn and Texas A&M matchup. And Kyle, briefly, if you would, recap for us and anybody that may have forgotten Auburn's incredible win last year at home against this Texas A&M football team.
Yeah, that was a good one. It was one where you're reeling and you're hoping to just find anything. And it was a, you know, what was it, four overtimes? Yeah. I think thriller that came down to two-point conversions, which is still the dumbest version of overtime you could ever have. But
yeah.
It was a game where Auburn found a lot of success on offense, which they struggled with at times, didn't particularly play well on defense. But when it came down to it, they just had to make a play, and you had Keandre Lambert-Smith you could go to in the back of the end zone to get that final two-point conversion. And then obviously you had the drop pass that led to a it was a low pass, but a drop pass that led to the game being over. So
yeah.
It was one, I think they may have rushed the field, which is kind of embarrassing, but and that probably rubbed Texas A&M the wrong way. I've heard several of them, I think back in media days, mention that this one would be personal. So, it was a thriller for sure. There's been a lot of those with, I feel like, these two teams.
Now, when you look at this Texas A&M football team, they're 4-0. But do you think that they are a really good football team, or do you think that they are a lucky 4-0 football team?
Look, here's the thing. I think obviously their roster is incredibly talented, without a doubt. Like, you cannot argue top to bottom, very, very good. They picked up two really big wide receiver transfers in Mario Craver, a local Alabama kid, I think from Clay Chalkville. And then I can never say his name right, but I think he's an NC State transfer, Concepcion or something like that. I think he was the number two or number three wide receiver in the portal in the offseason, and they've been electric.
Yeah.
The one thing I think, the reason I said earlier that I like this matchup better than I liked Oklahoma is because Auburn does a really good job with running quarterbacks and containing them and taking away that weapon.
Yeah.
You saw John Mateer was Oklahoma's actual, I think, either the leading rusher or just barely under being the leading rusher. And he did have the one touchdown run at the end of the game, but for the most part, Auburn kept him contained. The only difference is he can thread the needle and he can pick you apart from the pocket. I don't really think Marcel Reed's there yet. He's still really young. He throws for a pile of yards, but he's completing less than 60% of his passes. And I just think if Auburn can create that him or turn him into a pocket passer instead of letting him get, you know, break, contain, and hurt you with his legs, I think you got a really good shot of creating some chaos, so to speak, on the defensive side. And then you turn to the offense. Look, they're a little bit more susceptible to the run than in Oklahoma, and Auburn needs to be able to run the ball for that offense, I think, to work, because I just don't know that Jackson is a guy that can sit back there and pick you apart quite yet. I just don't know that he's there yet either. So Auburn's really got to establish a run, work that play action. And then I think this could be a blessing in disguise, but and this is going to sound bad when I say this, but Horatio Fields was Auburn's, I guess, number three guy, wide receiver, has a broken foot, and he's having to have surgery to correct it. So he's going to be out for an extended period of time. Perry Thompson's getting a chance to come in there and take his place. And I think the upside from Perry Thompson with the athletic ability that he has, very highly recruited kid out of Foley, Alabama, I think him getting that option or getting that opportunity to come in and maybe get some balls in space, get some early quick receptions to let his 6'3", 223-pound frame that can run a sub-4.5 40, getting him that ball at that size, I think he can do some special things. So I think Auburn's got an opportunity to be able to hurt Texas A&M in the run, and that's kind of why I think this was a little bit better of a matchup to me than it was Oklahoma.
What concerns you the most from an Auburn perspective where A&M could take advantage?
There's nothing more demoralizing than when a quarterback can extend on a third down, like can pick up a third down with his legs. And again, I think Auburn has the ability to contain Marcel Reed, but if he's able to get outside the pocket, that could be a big blow to Auburn, because next thing you know, Mario Craver is going to be behind the defense.
Your flagship home of Alabama sports. We are a championship school, and school is in session.
Makes a catch, makes them bang into each other, stays on his feet, breaks a tackle, scores, scores.
Join us Saturday as the Crimson Tide start SEC play against the Georgia Bulldogs. Our coverage begins at 3:30 on your home for Alabama football. Presented by Pearl River Resort,
DCH Regional Medical Center,
Two Dimes Tuscaloosa,
and Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram.
Ladies and gentlemen, Bill Ferguson of South's Finest Meats, the official sponsor of the Stingray Show, has a message for you.
Everything we do here is fresh and custom made, custom to order. You know, I tell people when they come in, you know, if you don't see what you like, ask somebody. You know, we've got the capability to process it, make it. You know, if you want a different blend of hamburger meat, we'll do your brisket blend. We'll do your chuck blend. We'll do your sirloin blend. You know, we do all that right here. We are a butcher shop. It's what we do. So please don't be afraid to ask if you don't see what you like. We can make you any size patty you want. We can make you any amount you want. You know, people call me and say, well, how many patties come in the box? Ma'am, how many would you like in a box? You know, you want 12, we'll put 12. You want 25, we'll put 25.
That's just one of the many things that South's Finest Meats has to offer, the official butcher shop of the Stingray Show. With all of the recent tornado damage and storm activity here in West Alabama, Alpha Insurance and hometown agent Jeff Nee can help you personalize your insurance needs. Remember, the more you protect, the more you save. With a helpful customer service team here to serve you in Alabama and over in Mississippi, you can count on Alpha to provide an insurance plan that provides the protection you need, the convenience you expect, and the service that you deserve. For all your auto, home, life, and business insurance needs, call Alpha agent Jeff Nee at 205-758-2577. Once again, 758-2577, or drop by their office on McFarland Boulevard East, Suite 101 in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. And remember, Alpha agent Jeff Nee, the more you protect, the more you save.
Never miss a moment. Download the free Tide 100.9 app today.
It's college football season, and what goes well with college football events? And if you have an event coming up and needs catering, let certified chef Jamie and the Coker Market do the event for you. Here are just some of the things that Coker Market have to offer for your catering needs. Pulled pork by the pound, chicken tenders by the dozen, smoked wings by the dozen, or a half a slab of ribs or a full slab of ribs. Contact Jamie and the Coker Market today, or better yet, go by there off of County Road 140 and let them help you take the hassle out of the catering needs for your event this upcoming football season. Welcome back inside the Stingray Show, and we are doing a preview of Auburn and Texas A&M. We just finished up with the Auburn side of this matchup, and Kyle Field will be rocking on Saturday as they welcome in the Auburn Tigers, looking for revenge after last year's game. And Texas A&M is coming all into this game off of a bye week, and before that, after a huge program-defining win, as Mike Elko said, over the Notre Dame Fighting Irish. Here is Tex Aggs on Olin Buchanan to break down this game from the A&M side. Olin, how are things with you in Aggie land?
Oh, they're all right. Stingray, you know, just another day in paradise here in Bryan College Station.
So, Olin, I do have to ask you, last time we had you on, you talked about battered Aggie syndrome. Mm-hmm. After the Notre Dame game, how is that syndrome doing for the fans?
Oh, I think it just raises the level of angst. You know, if you followed A&M, it's not uncommon for A&M to get big victories.
Yeah.
You know, they've beaten Alabama. They've beaten LSU, Florida. They've had big wins over highly ranked teams. But they have a history of not following up with, with great win. You know, they have the one win.
Yeah.
And then they kind of face plant. So what the task is on Saturday is you have to go, the Aggies, I mean, have to go about the proving that they're a great team,
yes.
Not that they just had a great night.
So, Olin, briefly, 2 weeks ago, A&M knocked off Notre Dame up there in South Bend. You were there in person. Recap that game for us, please.
Well, it was a great game. It was, wide open, like the score would suggest. Notre Dame blocked a punt on A&M's, at the end of A&M's first possession, right, and goes out to a 7-0 lead and got an interception later, and it was 17-10. A&M scored on, feel bad for the folks. I really don't, but I could feel bad for the folks at Mississippi State when you saw the touchdown that Mario Craver had when he spun through three tacklers and turned a relatively short pass to an 86-yard touchdown. So it was 17-7. And then Notre Dame maintained a 10-point lead for quite a while. A&M got a big stop on a fourth down and rallied and ended up taking the lead at halftime, 28-24.
Right.
Notre Dame scores first in the second half to regain the lead. Traded field goals. A&M gets a touchdown, and the next thing you know, it's tied with about, 5 minutes to go. Notre Dame is driving. They score a touchdown to go up 40-34. They botched the extra point. The holder dropped the snap.
Yeah.
And so they kind of opened the door and looked great for A&M. There's 3 minutes to go, and Terry Bussey returned the ensuing kickoff for a touchdown. Up, holding, turned out to be a blessing in disguise. The Aggies were able to drive down and on a fourth and goal from the 11, Marcel Reed kind of double pumps and finds his tight end Nate Bocacher. Everybody knows that name, right? There's a household name. He is in College Station now. For 11-yard touchdown pass with 13 seconds to go. So Notre Dame really doesn't have time to respond. And, had they had a minute, I don't know how that game would have come out because both teams were moving the ball pretty well.
So, Olin, going into the off week, what did you think that A&M needed to work on the most?
I thought the thing they really need to focus on is just their pass defense. They had some pass, some busts. Like there was one wheel route that the linebacker just, I guess he just had a brain lapse. And, it was Jeremiah Love. He's wide open. There's nobody with him. I mean, that's the best player on Notre Dame's team. You'd think by accident they'd have somebody on him. Now, look, if the linebacker is charged with covering him downfield, it might be a touchdown anyway because that's a mismatch, but you still want a guy out there. And that's not the not saying they don't have the ability, it's just it was a mental mistake. So I think they've spent a lot of time working on mental mistake. Frankly, I think the A&M run defense played pretty well considering that the team they're trying to stop had a veteran offensive line and Jeremiah Love and Jadarian Price. I thought, they held up pretty decent. I think Notre Dame had one run for over 20 yards. That's an accomplishment in itself. But the defensive, the secondary could have been better.
Yes. So talk about your concern about this big win and then A&M doing what they've done in history, like you talked about, with a face plant and not handling success very well.
Yeah, we're saying they all coaches always say you got to overcome adversity. A&M has to overcome prosperity. Just be able to. But I think the open date was was fortuitous for A&M because they get this chance to reset, you know, celebrate it, enjoy it, but have plenty of time to reset it. You know, last year they had a huge win over LSU. LSU was ranked, I don't know, 4 or 5 at the time. I think they're in the top 10 anyway. And then they go play South Carolina and lose, and it starts a losing streak. So, yeah, look, things appear to be different under Mike Elko, even that happened last year with Elko. It's his first year, and they lost Le'Veon Moss in that game against South Carolina early. And I think that had something to do with it. They might have lost anyway. But we'll see if they're better equipped. They seem to be. Because, quite frankly, before they went up to Notre Dame, they hadn't won a road game against a ranked opponent in like 8 years.
Right.
You know, they cleared that hurdle. So maybe this is the year that they're going to look at that problem, that tendency to not follow up big victories. And maybe this is the year they will, and they could springboard them onto a big year. Or, you know, if they lose to Auburn, you start thinking, well, is it going to be another status quo 8-4 or 7-5 type of year?
So, Olin, we are up against our final break of the evening. When we come back, we are going to dive into this year's matchup with the Auburn Tigers. That's on the other side of the break. You're listening to the Stingray Show. We will finish it up right after this.
Coming up on The Game with Ryan Fowler.
Coming up on the Monday edition of The Game, we'll do the good, the bad, and the ugly. We'll recap Alabama, Georgia from your perspective. And the good is sponsored by DanielMoreArt.com. We'll talk to Drew DeArmond. We'll talk to Martin Houston and a lot more starting at 2 p.m. with The Game with Ryan Fowler on Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Your home of Alabama Crimson Tide sports.
The longest running sports program in Tuscaloosa. The Game with Ryan Fowler. Weekdays from 2 to 6 p.m. on Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Has it always been your dream to build the pond of your dreams, but you don't know if property you own or are thinking about buying has a good location to build a pond on? You need to contact Honey Hole Fisheries right here in Tuscaloosa County, because Jeff Bagwell will help you decide if property you own or are thinking about buying has a good location to build a pond. You can contact Honey Hole Fisheries at 205-799-0192. Once again, that is 799-0192. And hey, Jeff Bagwell can also order top quality automatic fish and hunting feeders for all of your outdoor recreation. Contact Jeff Bagwell today, once again, at 205-799-0192 to help you build the pond or lake of your dreams. With all of the recent tornado damage and storm activity here in West Alabama, Alpha Insurance and hometown agent Jeff Nee can help you personalize your insurance needs. Remember, the more you protect, the more you save. With a helpful customer service team here to serve you in Alabama and over in Mississippi, you can count on Alpha to provide an insurance plan that provides the protection you need, the convenience you expect, and the service that you deserve. For all your auto, home, life, and business insurance needs, call Alpha agent Jeff Nee at 205-758-2577. Once again, 758-2577. Or drop by their office on McFarland Boulevard East, Suite 101 in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. And remember, Alpha agent Jeff Nee, the more you protect, the more you save.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. North on Highway 69 from Old Greensboro Road to Skyland Boulevard. It's a 7-minute drive. Got some long-term road work on Old Birmingham Highway East between 55th Avenue and Kennedy Mill Road. And also construction on Skyland Boulevard between I-359 and Buttermilk Road. And on eastbound McFarland from Coker to Jack Warner Parkway, it's a 14-minute drive. With your Tuscaloosa traffic now, I'm Lisa Bakke.
Want to know what's going on with the Crimson Tide? Download the Tide 100.9 app today.
Score!
Welcome back inside the Stingray Show. My guest this evening is Kyle Rush as we are breaking down the Auburn side of the Auburn and Texas A&M matchup. And Kyle, briefly, if you would, recap for us and anybody that may have forgotten Auburn's incredible win last year at home against this Texas A&M football team.
Yeah, that was a good one. It was one where you're reeling and you're hoping to just find anything. And it was a, you know, what was it, four overtimes? Yeah. I think thriller. That came down to two-point conversions, which is still the dumbest version of overtime you could ever have. But it was a game where Auburn found a lot of success on offense, which they struggled with at times. Didn't particularly play well on defense. But when it came down to it, they just had to make a play. And you had Keandre Lambert-Smith you could go to in the back of the end zone to get that final two-point conversion. And then obviously you had the drop pass that led to a it was a low pass, but a drop pass that led to the game being over. So it was one, I think they may have rushed the field, which is kind of embarrassing, but and that probably rubbed Texas A&M the wrong way. I've heard several of them, I think back in media days, mentioned that this one would be personal. So it was a thriller for sure. There's been a lot of those with, I feel like, these two teams.
Now, when you look at this Texas A&M football team, they're 4-0. But do you think that they are a really good football team, or do you think that they are a lucky 4-0 football team?
Look, here's the thing. I think obviously their roster is incredibly talented, without a doubt. Like, you cannot argue top to bottom, very, very good. They picked up two really big wide receiver transfers in Mario Craver, a local Alabama kid, I think from Clay Chalkville. And then I can never say his name right, but I think he's an NC State transfer, Concepcion or something like that. I think he was the number two or number three wide receiver in the portal in the offseason, and they've been electric. Yeah. The one thing I think, the reason I said earlier that I like this matchup better than I liked Oklahoma is because Auburn does a really good job with running quarterbacks and containing them and taking away that weapon. Yeah. You saw John Mateer was Oklahoma's actual, I think, either the leading rusher or just barely under being the leading rusher. And he did have the one touchdown run at the end of the game, but for the most part, Auburn kept him contained. The only difference is he can thread the needle and he can pick you apart from the pocket. I don't really think Marcel Reed's there yet. He's still really young. He throws for a pile of yards, but he's completing less than 60% of his passes. And I just think if Auburn can create that him or turn him into a pocket passer instead of letting him get, you know, break, contain, and hurt you with his legs, I think you got a really good shot of creating some chaos, so to speak, on the defensive side. And then you turn to the offense. Look, they're a little bit more susceptible to the run than in Oklahoma, and Auburn needs to be able to run the ball for that offense, I think, to work, because I just don't know that Jackson is a guy that can sit back there and pick you apart quite yet. I just don't know that he's there yet either. So Auburn's really got to establish a run, work that play action. And then I think this could be a blessing in disguise, but and this is going to sound bad when I say this, but Horatio Fields was Auburn's, I guess, number three guy, wide receiver, has a broken foot, and he's having to have surgery to correct it. So he's going to be out for an extended period of time. Perry Thompson's getting a chance to come in there and take his place. And I think the upside from Perry Thompson, with the athletic ability that he has, very highly recruited kid out of Foley, Alabama, I think him getting that option or getting that opportunity to come in and maybe get some balls in space, get some early quick receptions to let his 6'3", 223-pound frame that can run a sub 4.5 40, getting him that ball at that size, I think he can do some special things. So I think Auburn's got an opportunity to be able to hurt Texas A&M in the run, and that's kind of why I think this was a little bit better of a matchup to me than it was Oklahoma.
What concerns you the most from an Auburn perspective where A&M could take advantage?
There's nothing more demoralizing than when a quarterback can extend on a third down, like can pick up a third down with his legs. And again, I think Auburn has the ability to contain him, contain Marcel Reed, but if he's able to get outside the pocket, that could be a big blow to Auburn, because next thing you know, Mario Craver is going to be behind the defense, or you know, the other guy that we just mentioned, getting the ball to those guys in space. Auburn's had bouts of time whenever they've had issues tackling, so that's going to be something that you got to really make sure you're doing, tackling in space, one-on-ones, winning those, because those guys can take a small pass. If they break one tackle, it can go 80 yards. So to me, that's like the biggest way, things you got to make sure you take care of, or it can hurt.
All right. How do you see it playing out Saturday in Aggieland, Auburn or Texas A&M? And you know they are going to be wanting to get revenge after last year's major upset.
Look, all of the logic says you got to go with Texas A&M. But again, I really like this matchup. I think last week when I was on, I said that I felt like Oklahoma would win by, you know, 3 or 4 points or something like that. And ended up being 7. So that's kind of what I expected. It played out a little bit different than I expected, but regardless, I thought it would be a tough game, a tough physical game. I think this one's going to be higher scoring. I really do. I think it's going to be a lot more scoring in this game. But I think Auburn pulls it out this time. I think Auburn goes in there and knocks them off by a couple of points. I think it's going to be a classic. It'll be one of those classic 35-32, 35-34 type games.
Okay, and finally, it was announced on Tuesday evening the next common opponents for Auburn through the year 2029. Give us your thoughts on the matchups that Auburn received.
Boy, 2028 is going to be a booger. That's the best thing I can say. 2026 is going to be fun because it's like the old school SEC. You look at Auburn's schedule, it's almost the entire SEC West. And then obviously you pick up Vanderbilt, you pick up Florida, which is a fun rivalry that you had from back in the, you know, the 80s and 90s. And then you pick up LSU at home, which that's always been a big, a fun game. The road games are going to be tough. You got Alabama, Georgia, Tennessee, I think, and Ole Miss, and Mississippi State too. So none of those are going to be very easy road trips. But the thing is, everybody's going to have it tough. Like there aren't really any teams out there that you're just looking at and you're like, man, they got off easy. Like, right. You know what I mean? Like, you got to make it fair. And it's going to be tough. Those are five tough road games, but you have a really manageable home schedule. If you can win two or three of the road games, you're right there in the conversation.
Kyle, look, man, thank you, as always, for taking time to join me. Let our listeners know where they can follow you and what The Barn actually is before we let you go.
For sure. Go to thebarnauburn.com. That is our message board where we talk team news, recruiting news, basketball news. Doesn't matter. We cover Auburn sports there. Great community, great conversations. And then we have our The Barn Auburn YouTube page where we drop 10, 12 different types of content pieces throughout the week. And then obviously anywhere you get a podcast, The Barn Podcast Network.
I've always wondered what The Barn was, so thank you for explaining that.
For sure. It's what Alabama used to call Auburn, they still do, Barners. So you know what? We're taking it over. We're taking it over and we're making it a term of endearment now. So come on to The Barn and hang out with a bunch of Barners.
That's awesome. Yeah. So, Kyle, are you making the trip out to College Station?
Not this time. Not this time. We're about a year away. We'll be everywhere.
All right. So, man, thank you as always. Go and enjoy covering Auburn and Texas A&M. Hopefully, they can beat A&M for the second straight year and get the Oklahoma taste out of their mouth. And we would love to catch up with you later on.
Sounds good. Thanks, guys.
Kyle, I'll leave you with this. War Eagle, let's go.
Let's go.
Thank you, bud.
Thanks, man. I got to run. Okay. Appreciate you.
All right. So that is going to wrap up the Auburn side of this matchup. When we come back, we are going to be diving into this matchup from the Texas A&M side with our good friend Olin Buchanan. That's on the other side of this break. You're listening to the Stingray Show. Olin Buchanan on deck right after this. Gig 'em. Whoop. Hey, you. Looking to upgrade your ride? Alabama One has you covered with auto loan rates as low as 3.99 APR, up to $500 cash back, and the best part, no payments for 90 days. That's right. Buy or refinance and keep the cash in your pocket while you drive the ride you want. But hurry, this limited time offer ends October the 31st. You can apply today at alabamaone.org or by calling 1-800-225-0110. Once again, auto loan rates as low as 3.99 APR, up to $500 cash back, and no payments for 90 days. Remember, Alabama One, One Together. Ladies and gentlemen, Bill Ferguson of South's Finest Meats, the official sponsor of the Stingray Show, has a message for you.
Everything we do here is fresh and custom made, custom to order. You know, I tell people when they come in, you know, if you don't see what you like, ask somebody. You know, we've got the capability to process it, make it. You know, if you want a different blend of hamburger meat, we'll do your brisket blend. We'll do your chuck blend. We'll do your sirloin blend. You know, we do all that right here. We are a butcher shop. It's what we do. So please don't be afraid to ask if you don't see what you like. We can make you any size patty you want. We can make you any amount you want. You know, people call me and say, well, how many patties come in the box? Well, ma'am, how many would you like in a box? You know, you want 12, we'll put 12. You want 25, we'll put 25.
That's just one of the many things that South's Finest Meats has to offer, the official butcher shop of the Stingray Show.
I've